A housing thud. Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California. From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Good to have you along this Friday morning as we continue with Fallout, our special coverage of the financial crisis. It's been a long time since we've been able to use the phrase housing boom, at least in the present tense. Instead, another housing thud today. This one's pretty loud. The government says new home construction fell more than 6% last month. This is the lowest pace since the early part of 1991. Now, President Bush told the U.S. Chamber of Commerce this morning it's going to take time until things look better. He defended the government's interventions in the financial crisis.
The government intervention is not a government takeover. Its purpose is not to weaken the free market. It is to preserve the free market.
The president's comments were meant to calm markets, but with that housing number, it's not quite doing the trick. The Dow is down 142 points, about 1.6% to 8,836. The Nasdaq is down 17 points, about 1% to 1,700. The S&P 500 is down 14 points, about 1.5% to 932. European markets are still edging higher. Oil is just above $70 a barrel this morning. Yesterday, it dropped below 70 bucks a barrel. That's a big uh-oh for OPEC. So now the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries is calling an emergency meeting next week in Vienna to consider a production cut. This meeting wasn't supposed to happen until mid-November. Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard is standing by. Stephen, how worried is OPEC?
Quite a bit, I would say. According to one estimate, the cartel's revenues have fallen by $1 billion a day since oil prices peaked in July. And Deutsche Bank has produced some interesting figures indicating some of the individual problems. Iran and Venezuela need prices to be around $95 a barrel in order to balance their budgets. But also the Saudis, always eager not to upset the Americans, are apparently supporting a cut because they're worried that the oil price collapsing could hit their budget quite hard.
And of course, falling oil prices tied to falling demand. Does anyone have a sense of how deep this recession is or is going to be?
Well, they only have to look at the figures. I mean, figures out recently indicate that U.S. demand for oil fell by 8% in the year to September. And clearly, demand for oil, certainly in the West, is falling quite significantly. And demand in emerging markets doesn't appear to be growing fast enough to take up the slack.
All right. Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard in London. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Renita.
General Motors and Chrysler, meanwhile, are stepping up the pace of their merger discussions. As Ashley Milne-Tite reports, a once unthinkable merger is now very much in the cards.
GM's turnaround plan was going reasonably well before the economic downturn got into full swing. George Magliano directs automotive research for Global Insight. He says these days, with credit tight and car sales slumping badly, GM needs a much quicker cost-cutting fix.
General Motors believes that putting the two companies together, basically, you could close a lot more plants, you could lay off more workers, and of course, you would cut the overhead and also some possible synergies, you know, as far as purchasing, et cetera.
Magliano says with GM stock trading around $6, the company would like a deal done as soon as possible. Banks that hold the debt of both companies also support a deal. GM is expected to report gloomy third quarter earnings in the next few weeks. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
President Bush is meeting this weekend with a couple European leaders to plan a conference to figure out some reforms for the world's financial system. One of Mr. Bush's guests will be French President Nicolas Sarkozy. So far, no French bank has gone under. None has required a government bailout. And some are even hoping to come out of all of this stronger than ever. John Lawrenson spells out the financial virtues of the frugal French.
Tonight, what with the financial crisis, it's pig's foot for dinner, not the seafood platter. But in France, people are used to living on a budget, partly because it's much more difficult than in the United States to spend money you don't have. Bruce Antolovich is an American who's been living in France for 7 years.
Most of the things that we call credit cards in France actually are debit cards, which debit directly from your account. And usually the negative balance that they allow you is much, much lower than the credit limit that you have with a typical credit card in the U.S. I would say at about $1,000.
Easily enough to afford the mountain bike, Antolovich rides several times a week. He got seriously into cycling when his bank made him pass a medical to qualify for a mortgage. He had to take out life insurance too. Bernard Worms is general manager of France's Housing Information Board. He says guarantees like these, plus fixed-rate loans, go a long way to explaining why there hasn't been an increase in mortgage defaults in France, despite a bearish housing market.
We are not risk lovers. It's easy to get a mortgage if you have a full-time regular job, but if you have an irregular income, it will be difficult.
That conservative approach extends to the relationship between investment and retail banking. Christine Lagarde is France's finance minister. She says that caution is helping French banks weather the storm.
They generally operate on a business model which is 75% retail, 25% investment and market.
The waiter serving me my pig's foot will be the first to say all is not well with France's economy. 3,000 restaurants and cafes went out of business in the first 3 months of this year. Compared to the US, salaries are lower and more people are out of work. But in these panicky times, France's banking system looks a lot more trustworthy. In Paris, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
For more, go to marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.